VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. I think you'll find today's program to be quite informative on an issue that's not been touched on for some time. Many of us will not forget speeches and statements that were made by then the 41st President of the United States, President George Herbert Walker Bush, in which he called for a new world order. Now, in case you weren't engaged at that time in the political scene or understanding what was going on, I'd like you to take you back to at least one speech that he gave before a joint session of Congress on 9/11/91, exactly 10 years to the day before we saw the terrorist attack upon America at New York and D.C. and Pennsylvania and so forth. So we're going to air this clip, let you hear what he had to say as he's before a joint session of Congress.
Certain that we stand at a defining hour. Halfway around the world, we are engaged in a great struggle in the skies and on the seas and sands. We know why we're there. We are Americans, part of something larger than ourselves. For two centuries, we've done the hard work of freedom, and tonight we lead the world in facing down a threat to decency and humanity. What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind. Peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law. Such is a world worthy of our struggle and worthy of our children's future.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, whatever happened to this new world order? Has it dissolved or is the movement still at work? Well, joining us today, we welcome back to Crosstalk Gary Kah, founder and director of Hope for the World. Gary is the former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for the Indiana State Government. In that capacity, he traveled to more than 20 countries, worked hand-in-hand with U.S. embassies and top government officials in the area of export promotion. But it was in the mid-80s that he uncovered information regarding the printing of a new U.S. currency, and he investigated, found that many countries around the world had begun issuing new currency very similar in design to the U.S., the way the U.S. was going. He also discovered that this coordinated effort was merely a stepping stone toward establishing a single global unit of exchange, which was to be part of this coming one world government. Well, in 1987, he was invited to join the World Constitution and Parliament Association, one of the organizations involved at the forefront of promoting the world government agenda. And during the next several years, he obtained detailed documents that demonstrated that the push toward a one world government was active and rapidly advancing. And a matter of fact, this speech was just coming on the heels of all of that. He is the author of the best-selling En Route to Global Occupation and the New World Religion. Gary, so good to have you back with us on Crosstalk.
Jim, it's great to be with you.
I'm sure you remember not just this clip, but so many clips coming from President Bush 41 on the New World Order.
Yes, and you know, it was not a coincidence. A lot of people were trying to say that he didn't really understand what the term meant. That's difficult to believe because he was at one point a chairman of the Trilateral Commission and was involved in a number of globalist organizations whose number one purpose is to move the world in the direction of global governance, of a world government. And of course, to have that type of world government, you've got to have a unification of the world's religions, and so the same people generally also promote interfaithism and also a single global economy, because to be able to sustain their idea of a new world order, you have to have a global currency, or at least a tight network of currencies. Everything has to become one, from an economic standpoint, a political standpoint, and from a religious standpoint. And so that was kind of the public launching point. Prior to that time, everything had pretty much been behind the scenes. But I know that at the time in the early 90s, New Agers and globalists involved politically throughout the United States and around the world saw his words as being kind of a signal to them that they, you know, let's move forward and do so quickly. And throughout the 90s, they continued to lay the groundwork, put a lot of pieces into place, founded many different organizations at different levels of government and outside of government through NGOs, cooperating with the United Nations. And then in the fall, actually late summer and early fall of the year 2000, there were three meetings inside of 2 weeks in New York City. And the first one had to do with the top religious leaders of the world who were invited there, over 1,000 of them, representing all the world's major religions. And it was the event was funded in large part by Ted Turner. It had the blessing of Mikhail Gorbachev. And numerous agreements were agreed to at that time, and some documents were signed, not by all the people present, but by some, and that was the beginning of many steps that would follow to move the world in the direction of interfaithism. And that meeting, by the way, was held at the United Nations. Just less than 2 weeks later, there was another gathering involving over 160 heads of state of the world. And at the time, there were around 200 countries in the world, so you're looking at 80% of the world's top leaders gathering at the United Nations to pursue a political unification of the world, moving in the direction of this new world order. And a ceremonial signing table was set up in an adjacent room where these heads of state were encouraged to go to ratify various international treaties that had not yet been ratified by everyone. And many of those were signed by many of the individuals there, but not all of them by all the individuals. Again, it was a step in the direction of globalization. And around the same time that that meeting was being held, Gorbachev's organization, just a few miles away in New York City, invited the world's top economists, people from academia and from the scientific community and the media, again, discussing this trend, this move toward globalization, especially as it as they were beginning to use the environment as a reason for why we need to have this coming world government. So all that happened in less than 2 weeks, and that was the it represented really the going public for the first time with this agenda. And in the years that followed, there were times where it would move forward quickly and other times where it kind of held back. And I would say the last 2 years of George Bush's administration between 2006-2008, the second George Bush, and then especially through the 8 years of the Obama administration, things began moving forward at a very, very rapid pace. And that brings us up to the current point in time and U.S. President Donald Trump, which they were not expecting.
Yeah, and a matter of fact, he's been one that has not been promoting globalism that we would hear from other presidents, even George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush, but he is one that's been promoting, you know, having being a sovereign nation and putting our nation's interest first. This really doesn't sell well with the world scene, does it?
That's right. No, in fact, at first, I think they really believed, when I say they, the deep state, the globalists entrenched in our government bureaucracy, I think they didn't take Trump seriously. In fact, I believe they actually were hoping that he would be the candidate for president because they felt that Hillary would trounce him. And, of course, that didn't happen. And they're not used to dealing with someone like him. Typically, in the past, if a new president isn't fully on board with their agenda, they apply heat in various ways, and pretty soon the individuals back down and become part of their agenda. They realize this is too big to fight, and if they had any reservations of their own, they pretty much let go of those and fall in line. Well, with Trump, if they hit him, he hits them back twice as hard, and it's really caught him off guard. And I think we are entering a dangerous period. We're in a dangerous period, actually, especially between now and early next year, because we have the midterm elections coming up. And the powers that be, as I call them, who support global government and trying to get the United States to go in that direction, if they believe they have a good chance of taking Congress back in the midterms, they may wait until afterwards to try to make their next move. But if they feel that they're losing a grip on things, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to precipitate some type of crisis even before the elections. So we'll just have to watch that carefully. And, of course, God is sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing will happen unless he allows it to. And I believe whether or not he allows it to is proportional to an extent to the level of repentance that the Lord witnesses in this country. And so I'm just praying that people in large numbers move back into the Lord's camp, seeking him, to walk closely with him in repentance and in holiness, and maybe the Lord will give us some more time. I think he already has. I think we've been witnessing a reprieve of sorts. Because, I mean, nobody saw this coming a few years ago. You know, a lot of us thought, including myself, I thought, wow, it looks like this is all going to come about pretty quickly. I mean, under Obama, things were just falling into place mm-hmm. so rapidly.
Right.
And then, you know, again, along comes Trump and a lot of other conservatives that got elected into the House and Senate, and several dozen conservative federal judges now that have been appointed, and that's all significant. And so I hope the Lord gives us some more time.
I think it's interesting, Gary, because this very week, June 7th, today through the 10th, there is this secretive group, the Bilderberg Group, meeting in Italy. What do we know about this group? What is their goal?
Well, the Bilderberg Group, their first big achievement really was helping to launch the European Union. It started way back in the 50s, gained momentum in the 60s and 70s, and the organization consists of many of the top globalists from all around the world. And those who attend oftentimes include, from the United States, top members of the Trilateral Commission and also the Council on Foreign Relations, people who are tight in with the United Nations, a lot of global economic leaders. And I need to say this. I don't believe that every single person that attends those meetings is fully on board, because the way this works, oftentimes they will invite people to attend who might not be completely one of them, but they feel they can influence them to move in their direction. And so that's part of all this. They're always grooming newer people to step in, and you know, after you rub elbows with people for a while, it's hard not to become friends with them, and you begin to move in the same direction. And so I always caution people, because I've known some people who've been invited, for example, to join the Council on Foreign Relations, and a few of them are conservatives, and I believe still to this day are, and yet are members. But you're kind of playing a dangerous game when you begin moving in those circles like that. And the Bilderberg Group is very powerful, very influential. They have their meeting once a year in different places around the world. This year it's in Italy. And they strategize, you know, how to move the world in the direction of globalization. And ultimately that does include a form of world government or one world economic system.
Okay, we're going to pause right there. Gary Kah is with us today on Crosstalk. We're going to pick up with this meeting, and I'm going to share some things on their agenda. We'll be back in just a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how long does it take to make oil?
Chris, oil is the altered remains of organic molecules. These are primarily hydrogen and carbon, and after death they can metamorphose into hydrocarbon oil. It doesn't take long. In fact, there are a number of ways to rapidly convert organic material into oil, but all of them are rather expensive and inefficient. However, if water is injected into the organic material, then the process is much more efficient and quick. This reminds me of the great flood of Noah's day, when excessive heat and pressure is combined with lots of waters to act on the abundant living things, which were destroyed by the flood. Chris, it all fits. Even the difficult questions like the origin of oil can best be answered from a back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. Our guest today is Gary Ka. Gary is the founder and director of Hope for the World, and today we're talking about answering the question, whatever happened to the New World Order? We don't quite hear that term so much anymore, but folks, it is much at work. As we mentioned, today begins the secretive Bilderberg Group as they're meeting in Italy, and Gary, a press release published of their agenda, and here are some of the topics that were put on there. Populism in Europe, the inequality challenge, artificial intelligence, the U.S. before midterms, U.S. world leadership, free trade, the post-truth world, and other issues. I thought those are some pretty interesting topics.
Yes, they are. And, of course, all of those are of great interest to them because they've been getting pushback in some of those areas. And I think they're going to strategize on how to counter that. The international media, for the most part, is already on board. I'd say in this country, probably 80-85% of the media backs their agenda. So you just have a few outlets. Fox, of course, has been doing a pretty good job of covering a lot of the developments. But, you know, you've got some people at Fox that are on board with these meetings that see it as a great time to get together with these world leaders and even help promote their agenda. But for the most part, they've sided on in the area of defending our national sovereignty, and I am thankful for that. I want to do a little bit of a pivot here since we're talking about the Bilderbergers and this meeting in Italy, because there is one area where there could be rapid progress from their standpoint coming out of this meeting, and I'll be watching this very carefully. We learned recently that anytime after July 1st, the new world reserve currency will be ready to come out. I'm not saying it's going to happen this year, but I'm saying anytime after July 1st, for the first time, it will be ready to go. I couldn't have said that 5 years ago. We knew things were trending in this direction and eventually it would happen. But now we're right on the brink of all the pieces being in place and ready to go. And some of these international groups have been meeting regarding this. And what they would like to do is introduce a new global currency that would be replacing the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency. You have the global financial institutions of the European Union, China, and the Middle East who would like to introduce SDR currency as soon as possible, as soon as the timing is right. And the way things stand right now...
What is SDR?
SDR, I'm sorry, special drawing rights. It's a term that was developed to describe a basket of currencies that come up with a certain daily value, and they would try to keep that as stable as possible, and they would be using a distributed ledger crypto technology, the way things stand right now. In terms of the transactions they would be doing using this reserve currency among the world's banking institutions. The U.S. dollar for the time being would still be used for commerce within the U.S., much like the peso and other currencies are used in, you know, other countries. But the demand for and the value of the dollar would be greatly diminished once the SDR is officially crowned as the world's currency. So the ramifications for the U.S. economy are huge. Again, any time after July the 1st, this could happen. I hope it will be way down the road, that it's not any time soon. But if these people could have their way, it would be sooner rather than later. My number one concern at this point concerning all of this is that the international elite, including those in your mega banks, the leftist media, and the deep state, will try to manipulate President Trump's genuine efforts to bring about fair trade by trying to steer things in the direction of fomenting an all-out trade war. In fact, over the last 2 weeks, you turn on almost any media outlet and they're talking about a trade war, that Donald Trump is trying to create this trade war and so forth. And that's a lot of propaganda. That's what they want people to believe, and they'd like to actually see that happen, I believe, because then they could use that to try to collapse the current system, which is necessary in order to introduce the new system. We have to appear to be in a crisis, either a collapse or moving in the direction toward a collapse, for them to be able to make an argument in favor of this new system, and they would love to have somebody to pin the blame on, and President Trump would be the perfect one from their standpoint, to receive the blame for the current system collapsing because of this trade war, and then as a result they can usher in their new system. Now, I believe, I have good reason to believe this, I cannot give you my source on this, sources actually, but I believe that President Trump is aware of this effort, and I believe he's going to try to do everything he can to shore up the U.S. dollar and keep it strong as the world reserve currency, possibly even going back to the gold standard to back the U.S. dollar. I hope he does that. There's no guarantee that he will, but I believe one of the reasons that he has been having various leaders from Europe in Washington and also from the Far East is possibly to feel them out regarding this, if they would be on board with him, because some of them are, I believe, already quite committed to going the other direction. And so I think there's a real battle being fought right now behind the scenes over the future of the global economic system that is to be introduced if some of these people have their way. And I think that President Trump is trying to counter it and is getting a lot of pushback from all over.
Yeah,
this is just one area where a lot is happening that we need to be very prayerful about.
He's got the G7 summit coming up here soon, too, and with Canada, the UK, France, Italy, Germany, and Japan, and especially with issues on trade, he's not been looked too kindly upon, even by a number of these nations. Gary, I find it's also interesting to note, as you were talking, just last week, there was a statement that came out from Americans for Limited Government, Rick Manning, urging the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States to block a Chinese company from assuming control of the port of Long Beach, California, which is a very critical channel for foreign commerce. But I had to ask the question, why would we even entertain the thought of the Chinese government or its state-run companies controlling such critical infrastructure here in the United States?
Well, for the last 10 years or so, everything's been about globalization and global business, and whatever makes money is okay. It doesn't matter how it affects our national sovereignty or our national defense. And, what President Trump has been trying to do, I think, is very important. If we are going to be able to defend our borders, one thing we have to do is be able to produce our own military equipment here in this country. And as things stand, you've got a vast majority of our military tanks and other equipment, high-tech stuff even, the parts of which are produced mostly overseas. I don't think President Trump is saying that everything has to be produced here or manufactured here in the United States, but he's saying we have to have enough of an industry in the United States that we can make our own products if we have to, and we've just about lost that capability completely. And if we lose our ports, if we have foreigners controlling what comes in and goes out of our country, we're in big trouble. That's already the case in Mexico, pretty much. China controls a huge amount of the imports and exports going through Mexico and much of Central America, and now they're working on the U.S. So for national defense reasons, it doesn't even have to, you don't have to make an argument that we should take a stand against this because we don't like China or anything like that. You don't even have to go there. I would stick with the argument that we need to have certain things under the control, sovereign control of the United States for our own national defense purposes. And one of those is also securing our national border. And I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail right now, but I'll just tell people, I just posted an article I wrote recently called The Immigration Solution. It has 9 bullet points, and I think it would take care of the current immigration crisis here in the United States and fund the border wall as well, using the illegal immigrants to do so. And you can read that at our website at garycaw.org. If you go to our homepage, you go over to the right side where it talks about recent articles and click there on the immigration solution to read that. But very important, that's just one of many areas that the president is working on to try to keep us a sovereign nation, and it's very important.
Folks, let me, it's garycaw.org. Now, Kah is spelled K-A-H, K-A-H, garycaw.org. And matter of fact, as you were talking, I just quickly went to your website, clicked on it, and it's right handily there, and you can find it there on the right side of his page under new articles called The Immigration Solution. Now, Gary, I know that there's also just the whole religious angle, the one world religion in all this, too, and I just found it interesting, especially as it relates to this Bilderberg group that's meeting in Italy this week, that this is now said to be a global shadow government, but I find it interesting that now a Catholic cardinal is participating, this Cardinal Pietro Parolin, who was encouraged by Pope Francis, and just last year the same cardinal took part in the World Economic Forum in Switzerland.
Yes, isn't that amazing? You know, years ago, you may remember this, Jim, we had these conversations back in the 90s. I felt way back then that the day would come where the leadership, the Pope of the Catholic Church, would have to be on board with this one world agenda if it was going to stand a chance mm-hmm. of actually happening.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, and now we've got a Pope in, Pope Francis, who is very committed to globalization on all spectrums, all the way from full support of the climate change agenda, right down the line to unification of the world's religions and a global economic system. He's written on all of those and is quite open about it. And for that reason, if no other, I believe that the push is really, really on in a major way now to try to bring in the New World Order, because there are some in the United States and Europe who are wanting to get all the pieces in place at the Vatican, and when they felt their guy was in, they believe that's when they could make it happen. For the simple reason that if you have a Pope stand in the way of the New World Order and come out against it, like Donald Trump has done, you know, how in the world would they be able to pull it off? It'd be almost impossible. So at the very least, they need to have a Pope in place who supports their agenda. That is the case right now. And so they're seeing the clock ticking, and they're thinking, you know, how long can we be patient here before we really push the envelope and make this happen? Because, again, they weren't expecting Trump to come in and systematically begin to undo everything they've put in place over the last 30 years. So far, you know, he's had a significant impact, but it's mm-hmm. been limited when you consider everything that's already been put in place. But if he's able to stay in power another couple of years or another 6 years beyond this fall, by the end of that time, it could undo a lot of their agenda. And so this is what they're grappling with right now. How can they get around what is going on in the United States, and not just here but in Britain as well with Brexit? You know, the Brits had enough. They had about 80% of their laws and regulations over the last few years being dictated to them by decisions being made through the European Union, and they finally had enough of it. And in this country, same way, the UN has been trying to force everything you can imagine upon the United States, and people were beginning to realize, you know, we're losing control of our country. We've got a bunch of international bureaucrats making decisions on our behalf, and they're going against us, and we're tired of it. And I think that's what got Donald Trump elected. So a lot going on in Italy right now. We have some good friends over there, evangelical Christians, who are taking a strong stand. And a populist was recently elected as the new president in Italy. So I'm waiting to see exactly where he stands on things. It's a little bit too early to tell.
We're going to take a quick break. Gary Kai is our guest. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Having to prove the existence of God to an atheist is like having to prove the existence of the sun at noon on a clear day. Yet millions are embracing the foolishness of atheism. Now from Ray Comfort comes The Atheist Delusion. This 60-minute DVD pulls back the curtain and reveals what is going on in the mind of those who deny the obvious. It introduces you to a number of atheists who you'll follow as they go where the evidence leads, find a roadblock, and enter into a place of honesty that is rarely seen on film. You'll hear the compelling questions that cause them to doubt their atheism. You can obtain one copy of The Atheist Delusion for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829. Two
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Gary Ka is with us today, founder and director of Hope for the World. His website, GaryKa.org. Gary Ka, K-A-H dot O-R-G. Our topic today, whatever happened to the New World Order? Well, folks, the movement is still going on, much going on financially speaking, much going on and the politically speaking in world government, but Gary, also religiously, and I'd like to touch on this just for a moment longer before we open the blinds, and you had used the term early in our conversation today of interfaith, and we are seeing such an explosion of interfaith dialogue taking place. We are seeing whole aspect of Islamic groups coming together and saying, let's be part of this interfaith dialogue and coalition. We've even seen evangelical churches that have succumbed to this in some regards. Others have been holding the line and saying, no, doctrine does make a difference. But let me get your comment on what's happening with this interfaith dialogue. Even we just went through the Reformation here, the 500th anniversary, and they were saying, well, there's really no difference between, Protestant and what happened, back at the time that Luther nailed those theses to the door. On and on it goes, the interfaith dialogue promotion here.
Yeah, there's been a lot of big money going into promoting this agenda because, frankly, the religions, this has been the biggest problem or hurdle for them to overcome, probably, has been trying to get the world's religions unified, because if you're going to have a new world order and a one world government, you've got to have a measure of unity among the world's religions. And so as long as you have Christianity in stark contrast with the other religions of the world, teaching that Jesus is the only way, according to John 14:6, they can't get over the fence on all of this. And so they've done everything they can to water down Christian teachings and literal belief in the teachings of the Bible. And organizations like the World Council of Churches have moved more and more in the direction of supporting interfaithism. In fact, years ago, when I was invited to join the World Constitution and Parliament Association, Cynthia Waddell, the former president of the World Council of Churches, was one of the people in that organization. So, there have been representatives from the World Council of Churches that have been supporting globalization in various ways for many, many years. And by the way, one of the original funding sources for the World Council of Churches was the Rockefeller Foundation. Hmm. And I don't even want to go into all that, but if you read my book, In Roots of Global Occupation, I documented a lot of the early funding for the One World Movement, where it came from. It came from some of these major, big New York foundations and also foundations overseas. So in a way, nothing has changed. It's just, it's gotten bigger and more money behind it, more momentum that's been developed. And even in more conservative circles now, it's very unpopular to say that Jesus is the only way. Because nobody wants to be made out to be a bigot or to be narrow-minded or whatever. But it's what Jesus said. We either believe it or we don't, and I choose to believe it. I believe he is the only begotten Son of God, and it is only through his shed blood on the cross that our sins were paid for. Amen. The penalty for our sins taken care of. That wasn't done by Muhammad. It wasn't done by any other religious figure in world history, only Jesus, and he's the only one who rose from the dead to show that he has power over death itself. And so we have to stand on that firm, and we need to be courageous in that area and do so lovingly and tactfully as much as possible. But that's really where the rubber meets the road, where the battle is being fought.
Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. If you have a question you'd like to ask of Gary today, time is limited, so go right to your question when you call. 800-733-9829. We're talking about whatever happened to the New World Order. And, folks, what we see is that it is very active. It's going on, even as we speak today, as we mentioned, with this secretive global shadow government group, the Bilderberg Group, meeting in Italy this very week. And there's so much more that is going on the issue as well. So pick up your phone, give us a call, 800-733-9829. But it's happening politically, it's happening financially, it is happening spiritually. spiritually as well. Let's go to Roy, who's calling from Bayside, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Roy.
I thank you, gentlemen, for warning against the Bush family, some notorious New England liberals who moved to Texas to pose as conservatives. And one more sentence. The Bushes, first Gulf War, which George the First appraised in that recording you played earlier, claimed that the U.S. was fighting for freedom, but we were actually putting the King of Kuwait back on his throne and ignoring a communist Castros who are only 90 miles away. Thank you.
Okay. Any comment, Gary?
Well, I'll say this. I remember right after that first Gulf War started, talking to an Arab Christian friend of ours, and he was very concerned, in a nutshell, that getting involved in that way in the Middle East was going to upset the balance of power. He felt that as long as Iraq was there fairly stable, that they would offset Iran and that the two countries would keep each other so busy that they wouldn't have time to do anything else. Hmm. And then later on, when the second Gulf War took place under the second President George Bush, we bumped into him taking a walk in our neighborhood, he and his wife, and I rolled down the window of my car and we had a little conversation, and he said, George Bush has just done Iran a huge favor. And I said, how's that? And again, he articulated what I just said in more detail. And, you know, that really, he was right on the money. You look at what has happened today, and Iraq has been a mess ever since we went in there. We began getting things under control, and we're getting close. And then, of course, Obama came in, and he pulled all the troops out way too quickly against everything that the military advisors told him. And Iran has become a type of almost superpower of the Middle East, and they're funding more terrorist organizations than any other group. And the U.S., by certain actions under the Obama administration, has actually helped to make that possible and helped to empower them. And so it's a huge mess. The U.S. has dabbled in things that we should not have been involved in my opinion. And I'll just say one more thing on this, and I'll probably get in trouble with some people on what I'm saying, but it bothers me when the U.S. dabbles in things that we shouldn't have anything to do with. One lady naively from our church, a very fine Christian lady who meant well, when we were involved in the war in Iraq in the early days, she said something to the effect, you know, this is so wonderful that I just know that the people of Iraq now, they're going to become Christians and you know, Islam's going to be defeated and we're just going to have a bastion of Christendom in the Middle East. And I thought, I do not see that happening at all. As it turns out, between two-thirds and three-fourths of all the Christians who were living in Iraq when the war started are now gone. Either they were killed or they had to run for their lives. And those remaining are experiencing regular persecution. And so just the opposite happened.
Yeah, and Islam is spreading across the globe.
And Islam is spreading across the globe. Mm-hmm. So just the opposite happened. Islam was actually strengthened, the terrorists were empowered, and the Christians, they're the ones that have come under persecution, and I don't have to tell you how many people have had their heads chopped off and others who've lost everything they have.
Bill is calling next. Bill, you're on the air.
Yes, you had spoke. Excellent topic, by the way, gentlemen. You had mentioned earlier, Gary, the fact that we might be going back to the gold standard, which would be a great thing. It would probably cut this endless spending. What would that do for the price of gold? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, thanks, Bill. That's a great question. I don't know for sure, but one thing that's been discussed is gold would be set at a certain price. It would be higher than it is right now. And an institution would be established, or else an institution that's already established would be given the authority to do everything possible to keep gold at that price by buying and selling accordingly to keep the price of gold very stable. One of the numbers that's been tossed around, and I'm not sure how they arrived at it, has been $9,000 per ounce. That might be on the high side. I don't know. And, of course, we don't know for sure that this is going to take place. It is being considered.
What's the source of that?
If I told you, I'd be jeopardizing some people.
Okay.
I will just tell you this, that I have one very, very close source to the highest levels of the Trump administration. And that's all I can say, but it goes back to my government days in Indiana. And there are some things taking place that I'm watching very carefully, but I have to be careful what I say. And again, just because something's being considered doesn't mean that it's going to happen.
Right, right.
I hope that it does, and I hope that President Trump is somehow able to pull this off. But you know as well as I do, Jim, I mean, the opposition he would get in trying to do this, it would be enormous, and I'd be concerned for his life even. And so it's a very sensitive thing, but there are forces opposing each other on this. You've got the one side that wants to have a global currency, and they don't want it to be the U.S. dollar. They want it to be this new SDR type of currency, where really it would put much of Europe, Russia, and China in the driver's seat when it comes to the world reserve currency. On the other hand, you've got those who want to keep a status quo that has worked pretty well since World War II with the U.S. dollar being the reserve currency, and it's helped the United States in many ways to keep its leadership position in the world. And I think, again, if this could be pulled off, it'd be really a stroke of genius and a great move on the part of the United States, and might just keep the U.S. dollar the world's reserve currency for a period of time yet.
Let's go to Daniel, who's calling next. Daniel, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'll try to keep it quick. It feels like we're eventually going to reach a turning point or a tipping point that kind of pushes make all these pieces come together. And one, I'm wondering is when the dollar ceases to be the main petrodollar currency, engineered a collapsed economy to get us all onto a one-world currency, or like they've been trying to push us to, look at Russia as the aggressors and go into a major war with Russia or Iran. But the other thing is, when they're flooding our borders with immigrants, will that allow them protection of the United Nations, and then they can try to justify United Nations occupation? So either way, they're coming after our sovereignty and trying to break us at one point. So I'm just kind of wondering what your best thoughts were on all that.
Okay. Gary?
Okay, I didn't hear all of that coming through here, but just generally I believe it had to do with the direction of this currency and how they might how it might influence the United States, this whole issue, this battle that we're seeing. A lot of it has to do with the petrodollars, yes, because a lot of people aren't aware of this, but oil internationally has been traded largely in petrodollars, exchanged among the banks based on the U.S. dollar, in effect, being the world reserve currency. And so that has given us a huge advantage in a number of ways, because it has, well, I'm going to run out of time here.
Yeah.
Maybe after the break.
Sure, let's just pick it up after the break. Sure. 60 seconds from now, we'll be back on this topic here. Gary Kaa is our guest. You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Recently, I interviewed Jeff Nyquist. He's an expert on Russia and many other topics, and has written extensively for groups like the Center for Security Policy, that's run by Frank Gaffney, former Undersecretary of Defense for Ronald Reagan. Jeff Nyquist brings out some very important history, and that is, it is a matter of provable fact that the Kremlin and Putin have been behind training and funding terrorism for years. They let the dogs off the leash, Muslims, the Islamists, to destroy America. They've done this in Europe. They're doing it in America. Americans do not understand the enemy, Islam. but they don't even understand the enemy behind the enemy, Russia. It's a matter of fact that one of the leaders of Al-Qaeda was brought to Russia for training. Do we realize who the enemy is and who the enemy behind our enemy is? If we don't, we'll never win this war.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Gary Kai is our guest here today, founder and director of Hope for the World. Just talking to him during the break here, the clock is going so fast. There's lots of people who like to talk to Gary. And Gary is, we've been working out to when we can get him back on the program. And Gary, it looks like this Monday may work to have you back on Crosstalk.
Yes, that would be the best day for me next week.
Okay, so we'll plan on, and so therefore, if we don't get through all your calls, which I know we won't, we can pick up with it on Monday in further discussion, even about the globalist agenda, how it's being countered right now by the U.S. as well. But Gary, you're involved in talking about the petrodollars and so forth with this previous caller.
Yeah, I just want to wrap up that thought. Since World War II, the U.S. dollar has served as the world's chief reserve currency, as most, you know, international trade and also financial settlements have been conducted in dollars. It's given the U.S. an enormous advantage over other countries, allowing us, for one thing, to print an almost limitless supply of new money while getting foreign countries to loan us funds through their purchase of U.S. Treasury bonds with U.S. dollars. And that's because they end up with so many dollars as a result of trade, it's natural for them to want to put those dollars back into the U.S., into U.S. Treasury bonds. So it's been this cycle, and it's worked unbelievably well, all things considered. But this advantageous status quo, as I call it, would come to an abrupt end once the new global currency is implemented. And so it would, I believe, reduce our standard of living. I'd hate to put a percentage on it, but possibly by at least 20%, if not more. Also, our influence in the world, there are just so many ramifications, and of course the indebtedness that we have, that would suddenly blow up in our face. What do we do with all the national debt we're holding?
Mm-hmm.
And so this problem has been building for many years, but now the globalists are ready for their solution for this problem that they have helped to create and foster. But again, the Trump administration is kind of standing in the way of this right now, and we have to pray that the Lord gives President Trump and Vice President Pence extreme wisdom and courage in knowing how to deal with all of this.
Let's go to Miami, Florida, and Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless you, saints, today, and I just want to quote something out of the Bible right fast,
mm-hmm.
and all this, with all these religions getting together, that there are many antichrists in the world today.
Right.
And this is what the Bible says. In Revelations 4:18, it says, "Come out of her, my people, and be not a partaker of her sins." But this is what I wanted to read right fast. Ephesians 4:4, 5, and 6. "There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in the hope of your calling. One Lord," that's Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. "one faith in the Lord, and one baptism," the baptism of the Holy Ghost, "one God the Father, and the Father of all," mm-hmm. "who is above all and through all and in all," those that are saved. We have no business being in any interfaith.
Yeah.
All this is the Antichrist setting up for his domination to run the world for a little while until God knocks him down. So God bless all y'all, and be prayerful. God bless
Amen.
You now.
Thank you, Courtney. And Gary, indeed, I mean, this is what the God of this world opposes, and the God of this world is what's behind this unified one-world religion that is in opposition to the passage that Courtney just read.
That's right. It is a good time to remind people that we wrestle not against flesh and blood,
That's
but
right.
against principalities and powers. And these are demonic forces that are steering individuals that are gravely misled into doing the bidding of these demonic forces and trying to bring about this one-world system that would then allow a one-world dictator to sit over it and wreak havoc. And so we have the warnings of the Bible, And our greatest hope in this is that we do know eventually how it's all going to end. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 makes that so clear, that the Lord, when he returns, will overthrow the lawless one by the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. That's a really comprehensive statement. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns, will demolish the Antichrist and his forces. However, between now and then, you know, this system, ultimately, it's going to be put in place. We know that, and the Bible has predicted that it will take place.
We're gonna
but the timing of it, that we don't know. Only the Lord knows that.
Yes, amen. We're going to try and squeeze another, holding the longest. We've got other people on hold. Chris, West Dallas, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank God for Gary Kahn. I saw you out at the
Right to your question, Chris.
I hope you come back soon.
Chris, right to your question.
My question is this. In order for there to be a one-world government, there cannot be a superpower like the United States of America. How this nation will have to collapse or fall or lessen in some way in order for this all to take place. I'll wait for your answer. Thank you, Gary.
Okay, collapse, fall, or give in to it, I guess would be options, Gary.
Right. No, I agree. Something clearly has to happen, because if the U.S. would be completely outside of this world system, you know, all people would have to do is somehow make it to the United States, and they'd be on home base. You know, they'd be out from under it. And from all appearances, when you read Revelation chapter 13 and 14, this will be a global system involving all tribes, all nations, people of all languages. It'll be a comprehensive global system. Now, I do believe there will be pockets of reprieve in all of this. And the Lord would, you know, watch over people in the tribulation during that time who are his, to steer them wherever there might be pockets of safety. But the idea that you're going to have a country like the United States totally on its own, apart from it, I don't see that happening. And that does mean then that at some point something is going to happen in this country to either bring the U.S. down as a superpower or to force us into this new world order, or where the United States willingly goes into the New World Order somehow. And, you know, when you look at what's going on today, I just want to throw this in real quick.
We have 30 seconds.
Who would have thought our country would have drifted as far to the left as it has 30 years ago to right now? I mean, some of the things that are happening today are almost unbelievable. It's hard to believe they're happening in the United States of America, but they are. And so there is a real battle, a spiritual battle being fought over this country right now, I can tell you that.
Gary Kahn with us today, folks. We've run out of time. He'll be back with us on Monday. The website, GaryKahn.org. That's K-A-H, GaryKahn.org. Gary, thanks so much for being with us today.
You bet, Jim. Thank you. My privilege.
And, folks, keep in mind, God is sovereign. He's in control. What he wills will come to pass. So trust in him. Don't be dismayed. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.